This program is part of the Infinite Potato Alliance. Visit us at infinitepotato.com.
I'm Jared Stern. I think people should listen because we're desperate for attention right now.
I'm also Jared Stern.
This is what I like to call an exercise in benign narcissism.
And you're between two Sterns. I've realized that every time we start this podcast, I do this very loud, obnoxious, hello, which is reminiscent of that episode of Seinfeld where he has the voice that he wants to get rid of. And so it's made sending you the audio difficult because each time I think I'm sending you the wrong audio because I can't get out in the exact same way.
So that's why that happens.
Yeah. So, hi.
How are you?
Oddly enough, you respond that way almost every single time also.
Well, that's okay.
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. I absolutely destroyed you in fantasy football and put effort
hang
in.
Hang on. We're going to get into this and we're going to set up that we have a guest that will be coming on later in the show. Chris Papa, who is the commissioner of our fantasy football league. He'll be on to break it down because so I can actually have someone to talk to who knows what the fuck they're talking about.
Yes.
However, I will say two things. One, you only won by like 8 points.
8 points for the amount of effort I put into this is a destruction.
Well, let me tell you about your little bit of effort. If it weren't for me,
it's
you
true.
Wouldn't have won.
It's true. Jared Stern was instrumental in Jared Stern winning this week. There's no question about that. On paper, I can agree 100% with that sentence. You did say to me, I believe the words were, fix your lineup so you don't get utterly demolished this week or something like that.
Well, I just wanted you to fix it so you have a fair fight because you had your kicker was on a bye. So there was that. And one of your wide receivers tore his fucking ACL like the day before.
I felt like an old person trying to use technology for the first time, trying to fix my lineup. Like you told me that. And I pulled up my phone and like, even though it was fine, like I held it far away from my face, like, and I squinted, like I couldn't see. I was only using one finger to poke things. I was like, all right, people, this app is designed to be utilized by drunk guys who are trashed and also watching football. So I should be able to logic my way through this. And so I managed to hit a couple of buttons and there was no real kickers available. So I picked somebody and I put him in and I was slated to lose and I was prepared to lose.
We're going to get into it. We're going to get into all of it. But before we do that, I think we need to break down what happened this weekend, at least for me.
You have a story. I know you have.
Holy shit. I've been doing stand-up comedy for coming up on 20 years.
Yes.
I would like to say that I have seen it all.
Okay.
I performed for large crowds. I performed for small crowds. I performed for almost no crowds. I've had every single type of heckler one can possibly imagine. I have seen comedians deck audience members and start like fights in the comedy club. I've seen everything. I experienced the first on Sunday night.
I'm more excited about this because unlike most things, I haven't read anything about this on Facebook yet. So I'm coming into this. All I know is you sent me a message and said, I have a story to talk about on Tuesday and I'm here for it. So I'm just take the wheel, man. Just
go. I hope I'm not overselling it. So on Sunday, I had the pleasure of headlining one of my favorite rooms around these parts. It is the Cellar Door in Frederick, Maryland.
You've talked about the Cellar Door before on the podcast.
Yeah, the Cellar Door is where I recorded the album that I'm proud of.
Yeah.
I've done so well there that I released the audio as an album. I really, really like this place because normally the audiences in Frederick are very quick on the uptake and they're very kind to me. That wasn't quite the case this time. It wasn't the overall audience's fault, but I was met mostly with slack-jawed indifference. However, that's not what I'm here to talk about because I've had bad crowds. I've had crowds that aren't picking up what I'm putting down, and that's fine. So it's a bar show. It's a basement bar. And while the other comedians are on the stage, the rest of the comedians have like their own little seating area by the bar. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting there at that area, and there's a couple sitting at the bar who isn't really paying attention to the show. They're kind of having their own conversation, except to like just kind of blurt out shit. Like the guy yelled some stuff out thinking he was being helpful and then just went back to his conversation. So on the whole, they were giving off kind of an asshole-ish vibe.
Seems that way.
The lady, though, seemed mostly harmless. So get on stage, start doing my stuff. Things aren't landing great, but whatever. And one of my jokes that I've been telling throughout the pandemic, or as the pandemic has been winding down, just time to kind of talk about my favorite person to spot during the pandemic was the guy who pulls down his mask to smoke. Way to pick a side, buddy. Boy, I hope I don't get this debilitating disease that limits my lung capacity. And I liken it to a note that I have seen behind the bar of another comedy club that I used to frequent. And the note behind the bar says, "Please remind patrons that rail vodka is gluten-free." The point being, no one who drinks rail vodka gives a fuck enough about their body to be gluten-free. Right. I say the words rail vodka, and the woman stands up and in a thick Russian accent says, "Oh, no, no, no. You don't talk bad about vodka. Don't talk bad about the vodka." And I was like, "Oh, okay. I'm not talking bad." It's like she's standing up. She is standing up for the reputation of vodka in general, specifically rail vodka. So she stands up, and I'm telling her, "Listen, that's great. Thanks for talk." And then she starts advancing towards the stage. No. Now, one thing I should let you know is the guy who put this show together, a guy named Ryan Nezer, great guy. Love him. He's been running the show for 8 years. It's amazing. He does great stuff around the DC area. Also very funny guy. He had the misfortune of tearing his Achilles a couple weeks ago. So he's on a crutch. And so I assume that he saw what was happening, but couldn't act fast enough to intercept.
Right.
Because A, he was hobbled, and B, he wasn't quite sure what the fuck was going on.
Yeah.
So she keeps getting closer and closer and talking, "Dude, don't talk bad about vodka."
Was she drunk?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes, yes,
okay.
Yes. And she gets closer and closer. And finally, she's up on stage with me.
She gets up on stage?
She's up on stage with me. She's standing right next to me. No, so you do not talk bad about the vodka. What you do is you take the vodka and you drink the vodka and don't act like a pussy. And so, A, I don't normally handle, hecklers aren't really my thing.
Yeah.
Crowd interaction isn't really my thing.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting here, I'm like, well, I have to try and diffuse something. So, okay, thank you. Thank you, man. That's great. Go ahead, go back to your seat and make trouble for Moose and Squirrel. That'd be fantastic.
Did you say that?
I did, and only one fucking person in the audience.
Oh, come on. That's a good one.
I know. Yeah. I know. And then she went back to her seat, and they were kicked out immediately. But I was just completely, completely flummoxed. Like, it completely threw me. And I tried my best to get back into the material, but there was material that the audience wasn't really digging anyway.
Yeah.
And so I was just completely... Now, because I've done so well at the Cellar Door in the past, I recorded the set.
Do you have?
So I have the audio.
Well, I still need to hear a little bit of what happened so I can like react to it on this. So play it for me here.
Hang on 1 second. All right.
I was doing comedy in the before times. There was a bar that I would frequent, and there was a note behind that bar, and it said, "Please remind patrons that rail vodka is gluten free."
Hey, I'm best good, man.
Hey, listen, but... Are you mainlining around vodka right fucking now? Or are you... I can't see the IV bag. Are you...
I come from vodka is the best, okay? You can't
have... Okay, yes.
I'm sorry, man. do a comedy.
You don't. You don't want to interrupt me.
I'm sorry, but what is the best, okay? We can't ask you that shit.
I'm not.
I'm sorry, you're gonna be a wonderful man, but you don't want to mess with vodka, okay?
I'm not messing with vodka. What I am messing with is the fact that real vodka.
Yes, real vodka.
Right.
Yes.
What I'm saying is, no one who's drinking real vodka gives a shit enough about their body to be gluten free.
I'm sorry, but what is
the really cool? I know. Especially.
If you wanna take it, you take it without being a pussy. I'm sorry.
Okay. Thank you.
Wonderful.
Thank you very much. Please go and make some trouble for Moose and Squirrel. I appreciate it. Yes, thank you, one person who got that fucking reference.
So there you go.
So that happened. First of all, it's always amazing when you can capture those moments on record. Like, you have a recording of this happening. And, like, this woman didn't process a single word that you said.
Oh, no.
Other than the word vodka. But the real problem is, neither did anybody else in the crowd.
Yeah, like, it was.
It's always bad when, like, the heckler, because, like, you're a heady comedian. You're an intellectual comedian, right? Yeah, we've talked about, like, our comedic styles, and, like, you yourself have said that you're not, like, an edgy, aggressive comedian, but you are intellectual. Like, you need a couple of synapses still firing between the ears in order to get your comedy.
That would be synapses, not synopses.
And as you can tell, I have very few left. But all they heard was the word vodka. Like, that's all they heard. And they just latched onto it. And this felt to me like high school bullying, where you were like, can we just break down what I was saying so you understand? And she was like, don't be a pussy. And somebody was like, she said pussy. Like, that's rough. You know what the twist is? It turns out that woman was actually Andy Kaufman.
You're right. You know, it's very funny. So I posted on Facebook about what happened. And my buddy, Romain Mostafavi, had a great comment. He said, white Russian, obviously.
I have had a couple of incidences where I've had guests of the show approach the stage.
Unplanned guests, yeah.
One, I was performing at Gotham Comedy Club in New York City at an Anthony Anderson mixtape show.
It was
one of my biggest shows I did. I was, once again, very early into comedy, because all of my comedy is early into comedy because I don't get on stage that much. But I had a set, and my set was pretty tight. One of my big jokes within my set was a set about the phrase, go fuck yourself.
Okay.
And the bit is that go fuck yourself, to me, is less of an insult and more of an intervention. Right? Like, you know, you're a little high strung, you're irritating everybody here at the or at the party. I think you need to, you know, jump into my car, hit the back seat, take about 10 minutes, go fuck yourself, clean out the pipes, come back, feel a little bit better. Right? And then I pivoted and I do it as a reward. This is my crowd work. So I'll ask somebody, you know, what do you do for a living? I'll ask a woman in the audience, what do you do for a living? She says, I'm a teacher. And I go, okay, well, you're a teacher and you teach better than any teacher teaches. I don't know how industries outside of entertainment works. Whatever you do, you excel at teaching. And the principal, is that who you report to? Is that just the students? Doesn't matter. Principal calls you in and goes, you've been doing a great job teaching. And we would like to pay you more money, but the government does not care about schools. But what we have been able to do is we got you this rabbit vibrator, and 1 hour every day, you can go into the nurse's office and you can go fuck yourself. Okay. So it's a reward also. So it's all about restructuring the profanity, right? But I have this problem, and I don't do it anymore, but when I was young, I had this problem where if there was somebody in the audience pissing off the comedians, I like to jab at them a little bit, just a little bit. And I was doing this show, and I shouldn't have done it. Like, in hindsight, I shouldn't have done it. I was like 26 or 27 years old. And there was this one audience member that would not shut up throughout the entire show, just would not shut up. Like, it was pissing every comedian off. Host was irritated by it. And I knew deep down I shouldn't have gone after him. But I decided to use go fuck yourself. And it can be also like an intervention. Like, let's say you're at a comedy club. And everybody's having a good time except for one asshole who won't shut up the entire show. Then maybe somebody could subtly, and I make this point very clear, subtly imply to that person that you should go fuck yourself. You should go fuck, and I go fuck. Uh-huh. And I had a hand motion, like you waving your hand, it's a whole thing. And the crowd found it very funny. I want to make it clear that everybody found it very funny.
Except for that one person.
And I was not aware at that point that he was, I think he was an Iraqi war vet.
Oh God.
Did not take, when he stood up, he was somehow making eye contact with me, even though I was on the stage and he was on the ground. He was a big guy. Should have gauged his size. At which point I went, oh shit. And he got up and just started moving towards the stage. And
oh wow.
Two bouncers grabbed him and pulled him out of the audience. Much to everybody was happy about it because then the rest of the show went well. Not my set, because it was very difficult to recover from that. I believe I followed up by being like, well, given the amount of anxiety I'm feeling after this guy just tried to approach me, maybe I should take a couple seconds and go fuck myself. And that kind of brought everybody back. But yeah, it's at that point I learned to stop asking the audience questions that I am not prepared for every conceivable answer for.
That's right.
And yeah, it's an important lesson to learn as a comedian.
So now that we've talked about unplanned guests,
right?
Maybe now is the time to bring on our planned guest.
I think that is a great idea. And is there a comedian named Chris Papa?
Tom Papa.
That's who it is. Every time we talk about Chris, I keep thinking we're talking about that comedian. In fact, when you brought me into
the... Well, then he is going to disappoint the shit out of you, probably. Everybody, welcome to the show. Welcome to Between Two Sterns, Mr. Chris Papa.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey. Hello!
It's a pleasure to be here.
Hey, it's a pleasure to have you. You know what? It's funny, and I was about to get into this. This might be like the second time we've spoken face-to-face.
Yeah, that actually is absolutely true. We've had some chances to cross paths in Erie, Pennsylvania when you were doing shows there. Uh-huh. But it just didn't work out where we could make the trip down, and we had some kind of conflict that kept us from making the trip there to meet you in the middle. But this goes back to Comics Cafe.
Might have been like 2006 or 7.
So this is early in my wife and I's relationship. So this goes back probably 16 years, 17 years. Yeah.
So,
I feel a little insulted because our whole thing was how long we'd known each other without going face to face. Chris is in here for 30 seconds, and I feel like you're using the same lines on him that you used on me in our first episode. Like, is this a thing you do where you find people and don't do face? Like, I'm the only Jared Stern, though, right?
To my knowledge, yes.
Well, other than the other Jared Stern.
So I have to say, Chris is one of my... Maybe I probably have a handful of them, but one of my only real genuine fans. You know, he saw me.
I'm serious. Friends.
No, fans, like comedy fan.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Because he saw me at this club up in Buffalo. And then this relationship, like he invited me into his fantasy football league, like shortly thereafter. And it's kind of carried on since then.
Yeah, you killed that night, and you referred us to MySpace. We bought a CD. We bought a CD. You like checking me out at MySpace, so I did, and it's great. And some of the your jokes in that set are still part of my wife and I's daily, not daily dialogue, but are part of our repertoire. Like even you can be condescending. That's part of the things that we say to each other constantly. So it's part of our routine.
I am flattered. So yeah, so I've been in this fantasy football league with just a bunch of other dudes from Western New York. It's been 11 guys from Western New York and me. And then
I'm not gonna lie to you, Jared, from my experience, the bar is set pretty goddamn low to be a part of this fantasy football league. I mean, I've opened up this app 4 times and I've played 7 games. So at this point,
to be fair, the people who are playing in this league actually know how football works.
Every experiment needs a control, okay? Yeah. That's what I am for this fantasy football league. How well can you do if you don't touch your lineup at all week over week?
I put a exceptionally high level of effort into my lineup. I check it multiple times per day for instances such as arrests, COVID contractions, quitting their job of football. You have to keep an eye on that, and I check it regularly. I'm on the app, and I only have 2 leagues, and I check it 5 to 10 times a day, every single day. And I live on the phone on Sunday.
For the record, I get it. Like, if I had a thing that I was this into, I would very much do this. My brother's offended. He's constantly been trying to get me to do fantasy football for years. He's like, you're doing fantasy football? I was like, for the record, I'm technically not. Jared set up my team, and then it's really just a notification alert that reminds me when Sunday and Monday occur each week. And then I look and I go, ah, it won. That's really my entire experience with this fantasy football league.
So segue, did you watch the game last night?
Yeah. No, I turned it off after like the second Debo Samuel touchdown. I was like, ah, fuck. So I want to set up a couple things before we get into the actual game itself, because my team in this league is pretty fucking stacked.
Yeah.
Because it's a keeper league. So from season to season, you can carry over up to 5 players from season to season. And so I, over the years, have stockpiled a bunch of rookies who have turned into superstars, like Lamar Jackson and Alvin Kamara and Christian McCaffrey. And some idiot traded me Aaron Rodgers last year. And I was able to get Davante Adams in the draft last year. So
yeah.
I have a very stacked lineup. And I was able to pull off right before this game what I like to think is a pretty blockbuster trade. Because, like I said, it's a keeper league. And Derrick Henry of the Titans, the number one running back in all of football, fucked up his foot, had surgery, out for the season. Who dropped him? Who's... Scooby Dooby Doo's on our.
He dropped him.
Yeah, he dropped him.
And then you picked him up, and then you traded him.
Yes, I picked him up because
I didn't realize that you had picked him up. I don't watch the waiver wire. I simply watch who's available. I did not realize that.
I saw that he dropped him. I put in a claim for him. I was like, I don't need him, but I'm going to use him as trade bait because someone else is going to want him for next year. And so I traded a hobbled Derrick Henry straight up for DK Metcalf of the Seattle Seahawks, who's like one of the top 10 receivers in the league.
Now, one could argue that was a little lopsided out of your favor long-term, the next 2 or 3 years that may not work in your favor. And I believe Jared Western is disinterested in this conversation completely.
I was going to say,
I think we've lost him.
I was going to say, Julie will talk to her parents sometimes in Mandarin. And at this point, I understand more of that than I did the past 2 minutes of this conversation. So,
all right. But you have to understand, when he was initially invited into the league as a bit.
Me?
Yeah, you. When you were initially invited into the league as a bit.
Begged.
Because you know nothing
I think the word was begged to do this. Please, for the love of God, we need somebody. Nobody else.
Yes, because we were craving content.
It's a great content piece. It's a great content.
That's what you, literally, I don't know how many times I said no until you were like, it would be good content. And I was like, God damn it.
But what I realized is, it's not good content because you have no fucking idea what anyone is talking about. You have no even base level knowledge of the game of football.
I struggle when I'm forced to care about things. Like, I struggle to care about things I actually care about. So to then have me care about things I don't care about, it's like a subset of a subset of just me just kind of being like,
So this game between the two Jared Sterns was, in my mind, just a complete distillation of my life in general when it comes to high expectations. Because all of these top stars, Aaron Rodgers, crapped in his hat, did nothing. DK Metcalf, horrible game, did nothing. Lamar Jackson had a shit game, did nothing. The LA Ram defense, who is supposed to be the, like, has got every superstar on this on the team, gets 31 fucking points get put on him. And I end up losing by 8 points.
Isn't that the difference in our days that we were born?
Yeah. How about that?
Some fun coincidences, right?
Yeah, some very fun coincidences.
I told you at one point when we started this podcast that one of a weird commonality about me is the less I know about something, the better I do at it. And I can't possibly know less about something than I do fantasy football. I was always destined to beat you, even with the advantage. I kept checking it every so often. I was like, I turned to Julie, I'm like, I'm going to end up beating him. She's like, it says it's like a 78% chance you're going to lose. I was like, it's better content if I win. Better content if I win.
It is. It's better content if you win. And so basically, my fantasy is constant disappointment. That is, that's my fantasy football was to lose.
Do we play again at all? Like, do we have?
No.
It's just this one?
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's unfortunate.
Unless, of course, there's a playoff matchup.
Oh, yeah, but I don't think he's making the playoffs.
What?
You know what's funny?
I know how to do
it. He's scoring a ton of points. He's learning fantasy that it's unfair sometimes. He's scoring a ton of points. He's just not getting wins.
You're
in the top four, I think, in scoring in the entire league for the year, but you're just not getting those wins. It's unfortunate.
That feels
but you're still in it. You're
it still feels
in
like
it.
An allegory for my life in a strange way, as opposed to Jared. It's like I score a lot of points, I just don't win. Like that.
Just don't win. Yeah.
So one other thing I wanted to bring up, because I feel like, you know, people like Jared who don't give a shit about fantasy football, I feel like we might have lost them at this point. But there are two things.
We'll bring them back.
We'll bring them back. First of all, you, Chris, are one of the reasons why this podcast has been manifested. Because you have always, throughout all of our interactions, whenever whenever we've been talking about the league or whatever, and I've been thinking about, you know, I don't know what I'm going to be doing, you know, what I want to do comedy wise. You've been the first one to tell me you should start a podcast.
Absolutely.
And I'd be like, and I was like, well, I don't have, until now, I haven't had the hook. But you were like, no, man, you start a podcast, I'll listen to it. So
number one fan right off the bat. I was in no matter what.
So tell me, how do you like it?
I've enjoyed it. I listened to every minute of the show since the beginning.
Oh my God. Wow. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's insane.
In some cases, twice accidentally. I'm a digital marketing guy. So I work insane hours typically at night. And to drown out any background sound, I put on this headset and listen to the comedy, music too, but predominantly comedy podcasts. And I'm a big consumer of this type of content. So your humor is great for this. And you guys you're doing a great job with the show. And I definitely like what you guys are doing.
Thank you. I now understand why you wanted Chris to come on the show. We should find more people who will compliment us when they come on.
Exactly.
I'm your hype guy.
Great. I have a question about fantasy football before we move too far from this topic. I know you're surprised that I had something coming into this conversation.
You're always prepared.
Because I'm already looking forward to next season as far as the league goes. Now, the real question is this, because obviously you don't want to keep me here. But I'd really like to audition and interview who takes my spot, okay? I'd like to bring people in and see really what they want to do with the team, right? How do they want to evolve it and what their plan is for the Jared Stearns moving forward?
We only ask that you vet the individual you bring in for any emails they may have sent in their history, just to make sure that they're not going to cause us any league-wide embarrassment down the line. That's really right. A big thing. Yeah.
Well, then statistically, we should avoid Jared's entirely, if that's the case. We should just move on to a completely different name. But yeah, I hope that I continue to be just this kind of embarrassing slot in the fantasy league for years to come. Where
you lost to that guy?
Right? He hasn't picked a player in 6 years. His team is empty. How did you lose?
I hope you stick around for next season.
I do too. Who knows? I really do. Who knows?
I'll stay around. So earlier in the show, when you listen to it, you'll hear, Jared messaged me. He was like, hey, you got to set your lineup because you got a couple of people out. And I did it myself for the first time. Every other time I've handed it off to people who I work with or my brother, and everybody else has been doing this shit for me. And so it was like learning the app for the first time. I was like, oh, how do I, okay, I guess I can sub in here. I think I can figure this out without ever learning anything about football. I'm really convinced I can figure out how to win this game.
It's really analytics. It's not, exactly. You don't have to know the players so much. Yeah. You have to really just know trends and that kind of stuff. And there's no shame in farming out for assistance. I think a lot of us will ask friends, coworkers, hey, this is what I got this weekend. Who would you play? Yeah. And a lot of us will have that conversation. So there's no shame in that. And outsourcing, crowdsourcing your lineup and your team management.
Do I have a chance of making the playoffs?
Well, if you go to the app,
that's what I was looking at while Chris was talking. If you saw me looking off screen, I was just trying to,
I think it's more it's visible on the website, not the app. It gives you like a percentage.
Yeah. There's a chance. Website?
Yes. It's called ESPN.com.
This is incredible.
I know.
The technology that is surrounding this. It's amazing.
But they have, so like next to every team's like win-loss record next to it, you have a percentage chance of making the playoffs.
Is that the win percentage?
No, that's your actual percent.
Oh, I see. Is it playoff percentage?
Yeah, sure.
So half men has 99. That's good, right?
That means they are making the playoffs.
And I have 15.
Okay.
So that's
That's more than I thought you had.
That's actually, you know what, though? This league is every year it's like this, where there's two teams that kind of run away, and there's two teams that flop, and then there's, you know, eight teams that are within a game or two of each other at this point of the year. We have four games left. And it really, you are in a spot where you could win three games and be in the playoffs. You've scored a bunch of points, so you win playoff a lot of tiebreakers.
Garrett, you're in 97%.
I know.
And yet you still lost to me. How is that humanly possible?
I don't know.
That's amazing.
Well, this week he's got me, so this might be this might change that number a little bit, or he might win and walk away from it, and I'll get killed. So,
all I need is for my players to play to their goddamn potential,
right?
And yes, I'll drop a grain elevator on your head because I score points. That's what my team does. It's just, man, not when it's needed for a podcast.
This is the Commissioner Bowl. We call this every year the commission. It's the two commissioners.
That's right.
And it's the Commissioner Bowl. That's what we have this weekend.
So just from a theoretical standpoint, is it possible for me to cheat at this? I'm not going to, but like, is it hypothetically possible to do so? Because it almost seems like it's cheat proof. Because you don't know, you're just kind of guessing.
You don't. It's all completely guessing. Yeah, you could cheat by just picking up a random player that someone dropped that you know will be a good keeper for someone.
Then you trade them for another good active player.
For a good active player. Yeah. That's kind of gaming the system. I'm actually very, very proud of that move. The other reason why I'm really happy that you're on, I'm just happy you're on in general. This is nice to see you in the catch up, and not over, you know, Facebook Messenger or Discord or whatever the fuck was going on. But something about you I didn't realize, and you actually brought it up, that there's a lot of people in our league that are very just interesting people that you wouldn't even expect. But you do virtual, like you do e-racing. You're like an e-NASCAR or something like that.
Yeah, the platform is called iRacing, and it is kind of a NASCAR partner, but it is the pseudo-official simulation for NASCAR. They have console games that they have out, but iRacing is a platform that is specific to PCs, and every NASCAR track that they run at is in the simulator, as well as a lot of Formula One tracks and local dirt tracks and off-road courses. And there's a lot of content that you can add to the platform as well. But I am one of the many competitors to that. It's one of the things I picked up during quarantine that I did it when I was younger too, but during a quarantine, what the hell am I going to do? I got this huge PC that I built for myself for work, and I'm a big racing fan. So I picked this up and I was pretty okay at it. By no means am I a professional, but I like to think that I'm really competitive with it. And I do participate in some events that get broadcast on various platforms and have purses. Like I'm in a race coming up for $5,000 to win next week.
Holy crap.
One in December, that's total purse is $5,000. So
have you won money doing this?
I've won very small amounts of money.
any amount of money playing video games is a decent amount of money.
Yeah, so it does count for that. But I do make products and I sell them to the community. So I make these button boxes, which are like dashboard accessories, which allows the use of like an ignition switch and other one-touch controls of your race car from your desktop without having to fumble through your keyboard or use an on-screen control button.
Cool. And, all right. So I assume you have a website that you sell these through.
Yeah. It's 13Speed is the website. And this is kind of what they look like.
Cool.
But they LED backlit and they've got all kinds of buttons on there. So allow you to control your vehicle while you're doing your thing.
And I just to be clear, because I'm coming into this conversation blind. We're not being sponsored this episode by either the website or Chris's thing that he built, right?
The revenue is very, very small at this point. So it's mostly a loss at this point. So we can discuss that in the future.
I'd really like the listeners to simply enjoy what we're saying for the content, but don't buy it until they pay us to tell you to buy it.
This is what you think. All right. So the cars are all digital, correct?
Yes.
They're digital manifestations.
Yes.
Can you put stickers on your car, decals?
Absolutely.
On your car.
Absolutely.
Will you put a between two sterns decal on your car?
I'll tell you what, this race I have coming up, that's the $5,000 to win. I do not currently have a car for this particular class, and I will do a between two sterns car for this event.
That would be fucking awesome. So how deep into the design are you allowed to get for this, or do they just
100%? You feel full artistic control. Sim racing is not about just the racing; it's about the fact that you can kind of make it your own as well too. You can customize your own cockpit, your own setup, your own rig, as much money as you want to put into it. But you can also make your car look like whatever you want. Like it's Photoshop. You're creating an image in Photoshop.
What Jared wants to know is, can you put our face on both sides of the car?
Oh,
and then 100%. You in the middle, literally being between two sterns, the car.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
This could go places. So I would like you guys to send me your artwork and we'll make this happen.
Yeah, amazing. I hadn't even thought about this until just now, but we'll fucking sponsor a race car. It's going to cost us nothing, but so let's sponsor a race car.
It's a trade. It's all a trade.
Yeah.
I'm truly impressed by this because I was looking at the website a little bit while you were talking. So this is a lot of what we talk about, I don't know much about, but this is the racing where you go all the way in the circle, right? This is the circle racing.
It does oval track racing.
Okay.
Also is road racing as well too. So like Watkins Glen is a popular track in New York you may be aware of. All the NASCAR tracks they run that are road courses, and a lot of international tracks like Nürburgring and some of the Formula One tracks that you may have heard about or seen on, you know, Sports Center, Jared. I recognize yes. there.
So I've always been fascinated by the oval racing because obviously I equate it to like running in a circle where it's like, you know, the simplest way to get back to the place you started was to never leave in the first place. Like the people who run in a circle. True? And like when I heard how many laps people do in racing, and I get all of my information simply from the Cars series, which I only watched for the first time like 2 months ago, the number of laps they do is insane. But you have managed to find a way to virtually move in a circle without ever leaving the stationary position of your seated chair.
100%.
This might be the most active lazy thing I have ever heard of in my entire life. It is on both extremes of the spectrum at the same time. It's fascinating to me.
So during the pandemic, one of the things that I marveled at was the fact that esports was all over, like the regular ESPN.
Yeah,
like they were showing NBA 2K basketball. I think
League of Legends, Call of Duty, Apex Legends, like all of these games. Like I work in the digital marketing space as well, Chris, which I will talk to you about after this call because I'm curious what you do. I actually think we might be able to do business together. That's a whole other conversation. If you were to take the combined revenue of the NFL, NBA, MLB, and NHL, I'm very impressed. I got all four of them, by the way,
as
you guys should. You even if you combined all four of them together, it would not touch what some of these esport games bring in revenue wise. It's absolutely insane.
Were any of your races on the verge of being televised on an actual sports network? They were starved for content. That was the reason why they were playing this shit.
It wouldn't be uncommon for me to see those guys in races with me. Not that I'm. Again, I'm not like an elite player, elite contributor to iRacing, but it wouldn't be uncommon to have a NASCAR NASCAR racer in a race with you.
Especially
during the pandemic. Yeah, I had a two-time NASCAR champion wreck me and then apologize afterwards, and then another one landed on me. Virtually speaking, so it's not uncommon to have that happen. And this goes back forever, like back in 2000. Maybe early 2000, I used to race with Dale Earnhardt Jr. He was a huge gamer. He still is. He partly owns iRacing now, or he's on the board at least, I think now. But it's not uncommon to see those guys in the simulator.
Forgive my ignorance. Well, and forgive Jared's ignorance too. But
there's no forgiving my ignorance at this point. It's so extreme.
But the way you experience the race, like, is it how much like? And I'm going to sound like an idiot here. How much like Mario Kart is it? Like,
none.
It's not a top-down experience, right?
No,
you're actually within the. You're in the cockpit. You're driving as if you're in the car.
the exclusive view that you can use in this simulator is from the cockpit. So there's no chase camera that you can use from the race car. You are always in the driver's seat, no matter
what
car you're in.
There's no banana peels.
No banana peels. It is comedy sometimes because there's 43 people in a race and they all have microphones. So you do get to hear some splendid thing. And there is one particular, my wife hates this, by the way. She supports it, but she does not care about this at all. I can't believe I'm still doing this. I was in an event and I don't know what happened. It was behind me and some guy came on the microphone and I'm going to swear right now. But he said it this way and I'm going to try and quote it. You fucking piece of shit. And just the way he said that, I laughed. I actually left the race. I could not stop laughing. Just the way he said it. He was so mad at somebody to say it like that. And I told my wife the next morning, and she, now again, this is another thing that's part of our daily dialogue. We do this all the time where we'll see somebody and something will occur and we'll say something just like that. And she says it too. So it's not just me. I've had a lot of fun doing this. I don't know how much longer I can keep doing it because it's distracting from like real life stuff.
Who needs real life stuff? Come on. If there's one thing this pandemic has proven is that A, time doesn't exist, and B, we're all living in a goddamn simulation anyway. So
but
go
I think,
for it.
I think what you can relate to, Jared, and I can as well, because at this point I hear that all three of us are gamers, but different games. Jared, yours is Diablo. Mine is
currently Diablo 2, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Working from home is quite the challenge sometimes, because sometimes you're like, all right, well, I don't have another meeting for another hour. I could take my lunch at 9:30 in the morning. They don't know. So, you know, and then an hour turns into 3 and you're like, okay, I'll really make it up tomorrow. Like I've had those situations occur.
I used to do first person shooter, Battlefield was my game. I love Battlefield.
Yeah.
I'm too, maybe not fast enough. Like I used to be. And I don't know what it is. It's just the age thing is kind of creeping up, but this is something that's a bit more my speed. It's not something that you're totally sedentary at though, because you do work up a pretty good sweat. At least I do. The wheel that I use is called the force feedback wheel. So it has a high amount of pressure on the wheel. Throughout the course of 125, 150 lap race, you get a workout. I'll get up and I'll have a lather going. My wrists will hurt. My thumbs will hurt from squeezing the wheel. Yeah. And you take a beating in that, actually. Also, my back hurts because I'm fat. But it is quite a workout. It's not just mentally with focus, but it really kind of beats your arms up pretty good.
I'm surprised they haven't made some sort of like gaming vest, because I assume that when that applies the pressure that you would feel when. See?
That's absolutely there. Yeah. There's products that you can bolt to the bottom of your computer chair that simulate vibrations in the four corners of the car. Yeah. It's called a butt kicker. And then there's also a vest that you can apply that will give you the simulation of G-forces to the car as well, too.
Chris, thank you so much for coming on the show. This has been fantastic.
I do have, you probably cut this afterwards. I have a similar jerk between two sterns situation. My wife is from Long Island.
Okay.
And she went to high school at Farmingdale High School, with a gentleman named Chris Papa. And she moved to Buffalo for college and never went back. Family is still from there. So there is another Chris Papa out there who is substantially more famous than I. He's won Grammys. He's an animator for Nickelodeon. And he's won Grammys for his animation skills on things like Bubble Guppies and other shows on Nickelodeon.
No shit.
He's quite the good. So I own the domain name, a callback to an earlier episode. I owned the other Chris Papa, and I was the other chrispapa.com for quite a while because he had the good one. So there are multiple Chris Papas out there who are more famous than me.
You know what? The next time we have you on the show,
yeah,
we'll try to get him. And we'll have an intervention.
Our two papas.
We'll have a spin-off show.
Right.
We'll have him race you for the race.
I will win for sure.
He might be more famous, but he doesn't have an ultra wide monitor behind him that I can clearly see.
Yeah, seriously, it looks like a sequel to Poltergeist behind him.
I'm sorry, I can't turn him off. They don't like to be turned off.
They don't like to be turned off. They want to live.
They do. They really do.
It's funny. I don't like to be turned off either. On that terrible joke.
Hey, listen, I am super fucking stoked for having a between two sterns car in whatever race you're going to have coming up. We'll make sure to get all that out to you. Chris, thank you so much again for being on the show and for being a fan of the show, for listening to the show, and for being one of the reasons why this show even exists.
And thanks, Chris, from my perspective, thank you for letting me join your league and taking it seriously so that I can keep making jokes about it weekly. But you're a really great guy. I really do genuinely enjoy being a part of the league. And again, thank you for being such like an amazing, I guess, fan. I don't know.
I think I'm a fan. Yeah.
Thank you so much. It's awesome.
Appreciate it.
In person, finally.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
So next week,
yeah,
can I find somebody who finds me super funny and bring them on so that they can quote some of my old jokes and like kind of stroke my ego a little bit on the podcast?
Yeah, sure.
I don't know anybody. That's a loaded question. If you're listening to this podcast,
I
want to pretend to find me funny. Please let me know and I'll bring you on the podcast.
I'd like to think that's the purpose we serve for each other.
It's
okay?
True. No, it's true.
if for nothing else, we are fans of each other. We quote each other. We are our own ego strokers. We like, you know what we like to do? We like to go fuck ourselves.
We Hey everybody. Thanks for sticking your ears between two sterns.
Please leave us a 5-star review, even if it's a sarcastic one.
Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Have an idea for the show, or are you also Jared Stern?
Shoot us an email. You can find links to everything at jaredstern.com.